Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
For Bills fans.
Let's go, Buffalo!
By Bills fans.
Only Buffalo is going to win it!
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
This place is pandemonium!
Here's Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn.
And welcome back for another edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn, Alex Jones, happy to be joining you here on the brink of the 2025 Buffalo Bills season. The NFL kicks off tonight as we tape right now in Thursday Night Football. Dallas playing Philadelphia on Friday. They're in Brazil with the Chargers taking on public enemy number one, as far as I'm concerned, in the Kansas City Chiefs. But hard to believe it. The NFL season is finally here. We had a nice kind of segue into it with college football kicking off with week zero a couple weeks ago. Week one started last week, and now all us NFL junkies are revved and ready to go here. I'm primed and ready for some NFL football this weekend, Alex.
Absolutely, Brad. It feels so good to have football back in our lives.
Just, you know, you almost wonder where it went. Oh, yeah, it was, you know, about 7 months ago that the season ended. So here we are picking up the pieces after we watched the Eagles dance around in the confetti after the three-peat was stopped there by Philadelphia. And here we are, we're kicking off week one. A lot of good games across the slate in the NFL this season, and one of the big premier matchups is right here, right now in Western New York. Buffalo taking on the Baltimore Ravens in this one. And Alex, you and I were talking about this one beforehand. Although, you know, it's a big week one matchup here for the Bills, if they lose this game, it doesn't mean as much as it may implicate. You know, it could give the Ravens a head-to-head come down the stretch, but it's week one. There's 16 more games to go after this one. I hate to be that guy right now, but I'm just telling the mafia out there, curb your appetite a little bit. Don't celebrate too hard if we win. Don't cry if they lose here. 16 games will follow this one.
Yeah, and more than that, with the how talented this Buffalo Bills team is, I agree, Brad. I think we're going to see an overreaction in any of the directions, to be honest with you. Whether that be the Bills do really well, the Bills win, it's going to be... talk is going to be the Bills lose. The talk is going to be overreaction, as week one always is.
Yep, and yep, that's just how it is. Year in and year out, it seems to be overreaction central, and I'm expecting it. I'm embracing it here. But either way,
wasn't it last year, Brad, that the Saints through the first 2 weeks looked like the most game-breaking offense? They looked like they were going to go 16-0. And then they lost almost every game after that.
Reality sets in. Yep, very true. So a lot to get into. Full disclosure here, I hate to talk about failure, but I tried to get us a Baltimore guest this week, and I guess you shouldn't reach out via Messenger unless that's the only way, because I reached out to the same guy I interviewed a couple years ago, and he did not respond. So, unfortunately, no Baltimore guests to break this one down this week. But, I mean, when it comes to this game here, at least offensively for Baltimore, it runs with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry.
Yes. And, I mean, that is a tandem that is absolutely...
it's scary. When they got him...
absolutely scary.
When they got Henry out, the thought that ran through my head immediately was the rich get richer. I was like, no fair.
And again, I mean, there's wear and tear on that body. He's been running hard for so many years. You have to wonder how many years he has left on his body. But after last season, you know, a lot of those questions, like, you know, is he aging out, sort of disappeared, right? Now, when you get to the playoffs, it was a different story. But the Bills in the playoffs and the Bills in the regular season are two different things when it comes to playing the Ravens.
One thing I would hope, though, is it would be a little different story to start out this year because it is in Buffalo, and I would expect this team to be poised and ready at that point.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, too, once playoff ball is slightly different than regular season games. You know, you want to really focus on things in the playoffs. You kind of can go boom or bust, right? You're selling all the way out for the play. And if you don't, then, you know, you're going home. Versus the regular season, you got 16 more, you know, you got 16 opportunities to win games. Yes, you lose one, but look at the Bills last year, ended up 13-3 with a really good record.
Yes. Yep. And like I said, this isn't a make or break game, but it would be so nice just from a breathing standpoint to win this one, because you look at it this way here. You start out week one against Baltimore, and then things ease up a little bit. You're taking on a continuously rebuilding Jets team in week two. You're taking on a Dolphins team where Dolphins have taken step back after step back each year. Maybe this will be different under Mike McDaniel. I haven't seen a culture shift or change. I'm not seeing it. And then you have the Saints coming in town. The Saints may be the worst team in the NFL. And then you follow up here with another Sunday night game. Patriots should be improved, but I don't, from what I'm hearing from a lot of the insiders and folks around the NFL, maybe New England isn't as good as we think they should be this year. And when I say we, I mean you and I here, Alex. I think we've given New England their flowers based on what they've done this offseason, based on hiring Mike Vrabel. But really, outside of week one here, I feel like you have four easier games here for the Buffalo Bills.
Well, and as you said, Brad, you know, the division games are never easy. Dolphins, Jets, all, there's a lot of question marks with those. Patriots are equally as questionable, to be honest. I don't disagree with you. It's perhaps a lighter box off the top. It also, depending on what we see week one, could be a very difficult schedule if the Dolphins have their offense together. If the Jets take a big step on defense, if the Saints do anything, you know, maybe Spencer Rattler is the guy who's just Coach Allen, who's there last year.
Yeah, could be here at this rate. But one thing that I think I'm truly intrigued with going into this week one matchup here for the Bills is they put a lot of stock in their defense in the draft. Their first five draft picks were all defensive positions. They go corner, tackle, edge, tackle, corner before they went and got Jackson Haas, a tight end, who's, like we said, the modern-day 2025 Lee Smith here in Buffalo, following up with another corner here in Dorian Strong. So I'm curious to see how the defense is beefed up. They bring in Bosa in the offseason here. How can they contain the running game? How can they limit the explosive plays from Mark Andrews in this one as well here.
Yes.
That's what I'm more interested to see than the Bills' offense is the Bills' defense.
Yeah, I agree, Brad. What's the, you know, we kind of know what to expect from the Bills' offense. It's going to be a high-powered group. They're going to be tough. They're going to play physical. They're going to give F, you know. The Bills' offense is who they are. Everybody eats. The Bills' defense, on the other hand, that's more of a mystery. You know, how much does it affect is T.J. Sanders and Deion Walker going to have? How much play are they going to have with Dwayne Carter going down for the season? Which I'm wondering, Brad, with, you know, speaking on injuries, I'm wondering if he partially tore it because he looked so good through training camp, and then he got to that last game against the Buccaneers, and he just didn't look right. And I'm wondering if it went from a small tear to a large, you know, I can play through it to a larger tear. And, you know, but hey, I'm going to, it was a quick surgery. He had surgery really quickly.
And as disappointing as it is to have him out, I wasn't heartbroken or anything at this rate. And I would say mainly because, you know, he's a depth piece on this lineup. He's a guy who spent a good chunk of last season hurt. So having him out, I'm not totally shaken at this point.
No, I'm not either. I do think it hurts, though. He was looking like a really good, he had done really well getting his body in shape at one tech. That's probably where he's going to play behind DaQuan Jones. And I think they liked him to take over that role after this season. So something to watch going forward. You know, Daquan Jones is in year 13 in the NFL, and maybe, you know, it's one last ride for him. And I think that was the heir apparent to that position.
All right, let's go over the injury report in this one before we get too deep into it. So like we said, Dwayne Carter, done for the year. They put him on IR today. Elsewhere, limited was Tyler Bass, didn't practice today. And then today they add Matt Prater to the practice squad, a former, you know, starting kicker in this league between the Broncos and the Lions here. Does it concern you at all that they bring in a veteran kicker to the practice squad that Bass may not be ready to go come Sunday?
It is slightly worrying. I think that, you know, Prater's a really good kicker as well. Maybe they're just saving Bass for, you know, hey, Prater, you're going to kick extra points at kickoffs. Bass, if we need you for field goals, we're going to use you. But you know what? Matt Prater's a good kicker. He's got a strong leg. He's been in the NFL for years, and there's a reason why.
Elsewhere on this injury report, Elijah Moore did not practice today due for personal reasons. So we'll see if he's a go or not. How many receivers they dress? Good news. Khalil Shakir, full participant the last 2 days. That's a great sign going into week one. They could definitely use him offensively. One of the bright spots in that early season loss to Baltimore last year. And then at corner right now, the main question here is not just Christian Benford, who is limited, full participant today. Hopefully he'll be good to go battling a groin. Trey White, listed with a groin injury, has not practiced this week. So if Trey is not a go, which I'm fine with, I want a healthy Trey White out there. Who starts opposite side of the field?
I think it's Benford and Trey. I think that's what they're comfortable with. I mean, I even with maybe Jamarcus Ingram.
That's what I'm thinking is Ingram if Trey is a no-go.
Yeah, or not Dane Jackson. Who's the other UB guy? Jamarcus Ingram, and there's one more UB guy in the middle.
And I'm blanking on it, too. Lewis?
Cam Lewis, yes. Yep, I wouldn't be shocked if it was Cam Lewis either. Cam Lewis has got a lot of run for them. They like him. He's reliable. I know he's been training a lot at safety, but you know what? He's a guy they trust in a lot of positions.
And a big one here for Baltimore, if he doesn't play this week, is Isaiah Likely right now has not practiced with a foot injury both days reported this week. Elsewhere here, Jair Alexander, limited on Wednesday, full participant. Daniel Filal, their guard, battling an illness. He should be good to go, full participant today. And then Patrick Ricard, who is their fullback there, battling a calf injury. Doesn't concern me at all. Blocking scheme, you know, we've seen the Bills use that here. But I think Likely is the biggest injury concern on the Baltimore side. But, of course, for the Bills here, I think Trey White most concerning.
Absolutely. Trey White is the biggest injury, and to be honest with you, it's the one you got to worry about the most.
Well, and it's funny. I had someone say, oh, Trey, he gets hurt all the time. Does he really get hurt all the time, whereas he had two bad injuries in Buffalo? First bad injury, tore his Achilles, or not his Achilles, he tore an ACL on Thanksgiving Day in New Orleans, and then the season he came back here, obviously, he had the bad injury against Miami towards the end of that game in garbage time where that finished his season. And we thought nearly his career in Buffalo, but after spending last year with the Rams and the Ravens, and it's funny, if you look on the injury report here on BuffaloBills.com, he's listed in a Ravens jersey here, but Ravens colors at least. But to see Trey White back is great. I don't know. I'm optimistic if he's not practicing this week. They haven't put him on IR at this point here. I'm hopeful that Trey White, if he's not back this week, maybe he's back week two or three.
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I think he's back. I think they haven't made any moves. It'll be interesting to see who they elevate on Saturday, but I think he's back.
And for those who have watched Hard Knocks this week, or I'm sorry if you have not watched it, spoiler alert, Trey White was in this episode, but talking to Poyer in street clothes.
Yeah, I haven't got to see it yet, unfortunately. I'm a little behind on my DVR at the moment. You're good. McDermott and Bean are also all about the mind games, you know? And so, like, oh, Josh is hiding at certain, you know, when he hurt his hand last year. I just think they like doing that kind of thing.
I just want to say one statement about Hard Knocks. I know you haven't seen this last episode yet, but I thought as a whole, episode one was great. After that, it was okay. I mean, I liked it from a standpoint of I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. It's my team. But I thought all in all, it wasn't anything compelling.
No, that's what I've kind of heard. It's it was kind of a nothing, you know?
I mean, it's cool to see and kind of an inside and showcasing, you know, our team and an actual contender in the NFL. But I mean, I don't know. It was okay.
Absolutely.
I feel like all these docuseries and stuff, they're just filling the appetite. In-season Hard Knocks, I have no interest of watching that. I'm too busy watching all the other games going on. We got Thursday night. We got Sunday night. We got All Day Sunday. We have one, if not two, games on Monday nights to start out the year. I have no interest in-season Hard Knocks. The documentaries, for me alone here, is just a way to fill my appetite until the season starts.
Absolutely.
All right, this is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Find us across our social media networks, of course, on Twitter at TW Callahan DHS. Follow me at Bills Bruiser. Follow the site here at DHS Buffalo. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House and at drafthousesports.com. Buffalo, Baltimore, 820. Alex, I know you're a teacher. I take it you got school Monday. You will not be here Sunday night.
That is correct. I will not be here Sunday night.
Well, I hate to say it, but I'm going stag on this one. I had a buddy who is not a Bills fan. He's just a football fan. Full disclosure, he's a Raider fan. He was supposed to fly up Saturday. Text me this morning, hey, bud, I'm not going to make it. Personal things going on. I said, no problem. Without even batting an eye and texting some of my friends here in the area, I just went on Ticketmaster, took the instant sale, and said, I'm going solo. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to scream my head off, and I'm not going to work on Monday.
And when, you know, unfortunately, being 3 hours away from the stadium really does put a little bit of a downer on that.
If only we were still in the era, I say that facetiously, I don't actually mean it here, where school was distance learning and you could, you know, teach from home. Hey, I'd say come on over and you can do your lesson plan right from the R Street Media Studios, but unfortunately that's not the world we live in. I should say actually, fortunately, that is the world we do not live in. Teachers have to go in and teach, so I'm glad that you're at least not using a sick day on week one, Alex.
Yeah, a little too early in the season to pull that sick day.
Well, like
hopefully
we said,
I'm using one right before President's Day weekend.
There you go, because I think it's too early to panic at this rate in week one here. I hate being that guy here who's trying to curb Bills fans in this one, but it's exciting. I'm glad our team is back, but don't get bent out of shape on the result here. This isn't college football. One game isn't going to make or break you here. Long season, long ways to go.
Absolutely. Long, long season,
Brad. All right. We talked a lot about the defense in this one, and what we'll see the rookies step up in this one. I'm curious about a guy like Landon Jackson, a guy who was a third-round pick out of Arkansas. He's made the talk show circuit. I've seen him on Good Morning Football and seems to be a pretty likable guy, but I don't know if it was flat at camp. It's hard to tell, especially from a distance. I wasn't at St. John Fisher. I only saw him. I don't think he even played in the Giants game, the one game that I went to in preseason. So I'm curious how he's going to splash and fit into this Bills squad here, if he's going to rotate between Bosa and Rousseau. I'm really curious to see what Landon Jackson, from a rookie standpoint, brings to the table.
Brad, I would not be shocked if he does not end up playing a single snap for the Buffalo Bills in this game. If he was a healthy scratch, the Bills have a kind of a tradition of defensive rookies. Hey, you know what? Your first, like, third round pick specifically, hey, take the first game off, learn the speed, learn everything about it. You're going to be a healthy scratch this week.
The one who we talked about stopping, Derrick Henry, who I think could make a big impact here, is the young man out of Kentucky. No, not the first round pick. We're talking fourth round pick, Deion Walker, the young man out of Detroit.
Yeah, I do too. I think TJ Sanders as well. TJ Sanders quietly had a very disruptive preseason.
Yeah, I think those two rookies should make some noise in the middle of that defensive line. And then, hey, you know, it works out. They lose a guy here in Carter to IR, but they bring in a guy in Jordan Phillips, a guy who's been here before, who knows this team, this culture, this defense. And I'm curious if Jordan Phillips ends up dressing in this one.
I'd be curious as well, Brad. I think they may elevate him to the practice squad. I think that, you know what, it's going to be one of those things where I don't think he's ready. If, you know, everything we've seen written up seems to imply that he is sort of getting himself, you know, slowly getting himself ready.
Reacclimated
to football speed, getting back into football shape. Same thing with Gabe Davis as he works back from the meniscus injury. You know, they said that purposely in the thing. So I think that it makes logical. I don't think we see him up. I think they're okay with the four they have on defensive tackle. I think they could use it in other areas that call up.
Let's segue over to the offense right now. Obviously, the reigning MVP, 17, Josh Allen. Yes, I went to Schmegman's and bought four boxes of MVP puffs, which they look like Rice Krispies. I probably will not eat them this time. The Snowman cereal last year, delicious if you like Lucky Charms. But not plugging cereal here. Do you think there's any type of rust on Josh Allen from not playing preseason? I would say probably not.
No, I don't think so at all.
Josh is going to be Josh. He may carry this team in this one. He may be the one who fuels this team to victory here. But I'm curious to see how explosive James Cook comes in this one. He got the deal he was looking for. He's going to be in town for hopefully at least four more years if he plays out this contract. I'm curious to see what kind of pop Mr. Cook brings in this one.
And I think having him, you know, most of the preseason down helped take a little wear and tear off that body. I'm really excited to see what all three backs can bring, to be honest with you. They are a multifaceted animal that really is hard to replicate in the NFL. You know, the level of production they got from each of them last year felt like the maximized level of production.
Frank Gore Jr. makes the practice squad. I think he's a guy who, you talk about four backs in there, I think he's definitely part of the conversation to help getting this core ready in this one. But between Cook, Ty Johnson, and Davis, of course, out of Kentucky here, I think it's a three-headed monster, at least from those three in this football game.
Yeah, I do too. It's, you know, it's one of those things where there's not a lot to expect, yet there's a lot to expect, if that makes any sense. You know, you don't know how the three are going to be used. I kind of love Ray Davis in the matchup. You know, using those two backs as James Cook, Ray Davis, you know, because Cook is such a threat out of the backfield, catching the football, using him as almost a decoy from time to time, run those seam routes, draw the backers out, and then sneak underneath with a draw with Ray Davis.
Sorry, I had to hold my breath here and watch Brandon Aubrey kick a 53-yarder like it was nothing. So there we go. That's what's going on as we record this podcast. A one-point game on Thursday Night Football going into the locker room. Of course, the Eagles on top of the Cowboys. Outside of that, let's look at the receiving core. Another guy who I'm hoping to pop here after the injuries he battled last year is Dawson Knox. Not Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid. Knox, I would hope he continues to do what he's done for this team before and be a reliable pillar for Josh, a guy who Josh can find him open and get him the football. But I can't wait to see Dalton Kincaid, if he can be that guy that we're hoping he could be, that he can separate, that he can get into space. How big is Dalton Kincaid in this game here for the Bills?
Huge. If he's able to create space and get away from Patrick Queen, that is a game-changing possibility. Another one that I think is not really talked about, who's a guy you have fantasy, really fantasy, a guy to pick up that might be worth it, Joshua Palmer.
Yes.
He didn't do anything but get open for the Chargers, and the Chargers just couldn't get him the football the past few years. He, with Josh Allen, I think is going to be a problem.
And how about a guy we didn't hear from like we talked about? He wasn't one of the featured players on Hard Knocks, but he showed out a strong camp. I think he looks fresh and looks sharper coming in the year or two. Is Keon Coleman. I still think he's got a very high ceiling, and he hasn't even scratched it at this point.
I completely agree, Brad. I think that he is a guy who, you know, hasn't gone to his full potential yet. I think that you could see that. You know, the Bills really using iron sharpens iron. You saw in Hard Knocks how the Bills just kept running Christian Benford against him, and he kept getting frustrated, but then he started to feel it, started to get it. And it is one of those things going against those guys. Every single practice really is really difficult.
I hate to say it, times like this are where I wish we had a Baltimore guest. What do you make of the Baltimore defense? I think by reputation, they're always competitive. They're always ferocious. They're always able to put pressure on the quarterback to stay home on their man. This is a well-run football team. John Harbaugh has been there a long time. He's won a Super Bowl with the Ravens here. What do you make of the Baltimore D?
I really like the Baltimore defense. They're one of the best units in football. Patrick Queen, Jair Alexander is going to be interesting to see if he has anything left after his stint with the Packers. It's going to be a premier matchup for football.
Well, I think this is going to be a tight one. I don't know why I'm shaking my head right now, but I'm just... It almost feels like a coin flip type matchup. But it also feels like whoever gets a spark and sparks early in this one, it could be like, you know, what we saw when the Bills went to Baltimore. They were close for maybe a little bit, and then Derrick Henry broke off a big run. Maybe someone breaks off a big play in this one, and it starts to get out of reach early. So much possibility and mystery going into week one.
Absolutely, Brent. There's so much. It's you know, every year we do this.
Alex, when did we stop doing predictions on this podcast? I feel like it was either 21 or 22.
No, I think it was way before that.
I think, Brad, it was before then?
I think it was like 19 or 20. I think it was like 19.
I'm going to have to go back and listen some tape to see when we stopped, but we don't do predictions on this podcast, and I hate when people ask me my prediction. I try to not even give predictions outside of this podcast. I'll say, oh, it's going to be a good game, and I think they're going to do great. With some of our listeners, Mr. Spike down in Arizona, he's always great at giving us his predictions and score predictions in this, but that's something we do not do in this podcast, and I think it's something we pride ourselves on here.
Absolutely, Brad. It is one of our biggest, honestly, it's a cornerstone at this point.
It seemed like it was the right thing to do during the drought, because what else are you going to do? So try to pick, try to build optimism. Oh, I think we're going to win this game by this score. But I felt like once this team got good, we're just like, hands off. Let's just enjoy, revel. And even if we lose, let's dissect it and let's see how this team gets it back together in the following week.
Yeah, I completely agree, Brad.
All right. Final thoughts leading into week one, Bills Ravens.
I'm just so excited to see 7 hours of interrupted football coverage.
Oh, yes. And that broke today. Commercials during red zone. I don't even know what to say. Is that not part of a base package? If you have to pay extra for it, I'm contemplating I'll watch whatever games they air here in Western New York.
Honestly, yeah, it's getting to that point.
All right. Any other final thoughts here as we head into Bills Ravens?
Go Bills.
All right. Well, go Bills indeed. That's going to do it for this edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Of course, find us across our social media at TWCallahanDHS. Follow me at Bills Bruiser. Follow us at DHS Buffalo. And of course, at DraftHouseSports.com and at Facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House. For Alex Jones, I'm Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn. Go Bills.
This has been the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Available on Spotify, Odyssey, Prime Music, Audible, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An R Street Media production.